For our evening reading, let's turn to Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah 43. We'll read the first 15 verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. For everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witness, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. And I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Since the beginning of time, Adam and Eve, when they walked here upon this earth, everything was beautiful. God had created the garden and all things that God had created and placed man in that garden, and all things that God had created were beautiful and were very good. And then sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve were disobedient to the commandment of the Lord, and they sinned against their Maker, and sin entered into this world. And we all became born into this world, and we were born into this sin that we experience and that we're a part of. This is our lot here upon this earth. Now the earth is cursed, and we live as fallen men. Isaiah further in his chapter in his book says, behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We live in a cursed earth. We are a fallen people. Sin has entered into this world. As we didn't know the Lord, and as we didn't accept his will in our lives, we were a fallen people, and the sin accumulated. And there is but one result of sin, and that is death. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Romans, "Wherefore, as by one man entered into the world, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All of us have sinned. And the result of sin is death. There's no other way. Then we read a chapter such as we read this evening, where it says, but now. In contrast to that cursed earth that we live on, as a fallen people, the Bible here says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." And so as God's people, as his redeemed people who believe in him, who have repented of their sins, who have given their lives to the Lord, have been baptized and walk in newness of life, directed by the Spirit, he's speaking that to us as well, as he is speaking it here to Jacob and to Israel. So we can insert the church, or us as believers, that, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O church, and he that formed thee, O Israel," or a body of believers, "fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." The Lord redeemed us. He redeemed us from that curse that we were in. He redeemed us from the consequences of sin. He ransomed us, which means he delivered us from sin and from its penalty of death. He delivered us. He ransomed us. He redeemed us. And so that's why he's saying thus now. But now, he who created us has redeemed us, and he calls us by our name, and he makes us to be his possession. He says, "Thou art mine." He says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee, and when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of the church, thy Savior. Our Savior is the Lord God, the Lord our God. And he has become our Savior, saving us from this curse, saving us and ransoming us from this penalty of sin and the resultant death that comes from sin. He ransomed us, he redeemed us, and he saved us from that. He says, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel," or the Holy One of the church, "thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee." He ransomed us, and he speaks that here to us as well. And the Lord Jesus Christ came here upon this earth to ransom many. That's why Jesus came here upon this earth, was to ransom us, to ransom many. He says that in Mark's gospel and Matthew's gospel. And we rejoice in this. This is the greatest story that has ever been told, that Jesus Christ has come to redeem us. He has come to ransom us from this curse of sin in this fallen state of mankind. And he tells us that we are his. "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." We were honorable in his sight. He has loved us. And he has loved us so much so that he gave of his only begotten Son, that he might redeem us, that he might ransom us, that he might allow Jesus to take upon himself our sin, that we might have life. He says, "Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." And he says, "Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God did all these things. When he spoke the worlds into place, when he said, "Let there be light," when he made the plant life and the animal life, and then he created man from dust and breathed into him life. He says here, I have created him, and it is for his glory. And that's why we are here upon this earth, even as we pray together. We are here to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And what a beautiful thing it is when we do that, because we see God's creation, that it all speaks to his glory. Whatever it might be, that all speaks to his glory. And yet to us, he gave a free will. And yet for us then, having this free will to give him glory as he has created us and have our lives point to him, it gives him glory. And he is well pleased. And he says, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God has formed every one of us. Every aspect of our lives, he has formed us. And he has made us. And we are to give him glory for all that he has done, and especially because he has ransomed us, redeemed us, and has brought about this wonderful plan of salvation. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. There before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. The Lord is impressing upon the believers here at this time, the Israelites, and now to us in this day, the church, the body of believers, that there is no other God. There never was one before our God, and there never will be afterwards. And he's writing that. He's letting us know that we might know that with great assurance, that there is no other God, never before and never will be afterwards. And so he says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no other that can save us. It is only our Lord and our God who can put this perfect plan of salvation together, that we might be redeemed, that we might be made free from this curse of sin and its resultant death. There is no other Savior. There is no other means. There is no other plan of salvation. There is no other path for redemption of our lives. And he only is our Savior. He is the only one who can and does redeem us. And so, perhaps taking a pause from this reading here and consider the stories in the Bible of those that have been redeemed, of those who have been ransomed. There was a time as Moses and the children of Israel were making their way into the land of promise, that the Lord was speaking to Moses, and he was telling him that as you go in and possess the land, that every seventh year you shall let your servants be free. And then after seven cycles of 7 years, there will be then on the 50th year a year of Jubilee. And that year of Jubilee would set all of those that were servants and slaves, that they would all be free. They would all be ransomed. They would all have redemption. And perhaps that was a foreshadowing of what Christ was coming to do, to give us redemption, for us to understand that redeeming power that he has. And how the man who owed the Lord his Lord so much, that 10,000 talents, and how he was just forgiven of all that was owed unto him. He was ransomed. He was given redemption. He didn't have to go into this prison with his family until all of his debt was paid. He was ransomed. He was redeemed. There was the power of redemption there. The Apostle Paul toward Philemon and his servant or slave Onesimus, there was a redemption there as well. And many other examples throughout life, throughout history, of those who were redeemed. But we have the greatest story of redemption of Jesus Christ when he redeemed us and redeemed our souls, and that in an eternal manner, that which is forever and forever. You recall the time when the two on the road to Emmaus were walking with the Lord, and the Lord was asking them why they were sad, and they were explaining that this Jesus, whom they had so much hope in, was crucified. Those two told Jesus that we had hoped that it was he who would redeem Israel. They were looking for a temporal redemption. They were going to be satisfied with something much, much less than what Jesus Christ really, in fact, came here for. But John the Baptist's dad, his father, prophesied of what Jesus Christ really came here to do. And that is to give eternal redemption. And so Zacharias, being filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesied and saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." When Zacharias saw the Lord, he spoke these words. He spoke these words and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people Israel." God has redeemed us, and blessed be his name. He made us to have that eternal life that we can have in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the greatest story that ever was told. Back to Isaiah 43, he says, "I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, I am God." He has declared and he has saved. He has saved us. And he was saving Israel at this time, and yet in a greater and more profound way, he saved our souls from eternal damnation and destruction. "Yea, before the day was, I am he." Before there was ever any light, before there was any cycles of day and night and seasons and years, before there was any of that, he says, "I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." When the Lord, he loves us, there is none that can deliver out of his hand. Further in Isaiah, he speaks about his hand. "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Is it possible that a mother who gave birth to a child forget about that child? Can she just forget about her or that child? The Lord says, "Yea, they may forget, yet will I never forget thee." He says, "Behold." The Lord God says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand." This is the love that he has for us. This is what he has done for us. And this is what the Redeemer that he is in us. And there is none that will deliver us out of his hand. There will be none, as Jesus Christ said it himself too, that will be able to, no man shall be able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. He has us written on the palm of his hands. We have been redeemed. We have been ransomed. We have been spared from from that death that is the consequence of sin. None will deliver us out of the Lord's hand. The Lord says, "I will work, and who will let it?" When God does something, there is nobody that can take away from that. "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cries is in the ships." The Lord was working something marvelous in the children of Israel, and he's working something marvelous in our eyes, and we ought to recognize that. We ought to be thankful for that, and we ought to laud his name and give him glory as he is working something great in our lives, that he will keep us and that he will bless us. He says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of the church, your King." That's who he is to us. He is our Holy One, that we can obtain and come to him. He is the creator of us as the church, and he is our King, a King with a capital K, that there are no election cycles. There are no others. But he is our King and our eternal King. And we glorify him for who he is. And we magnify him. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the curse of sin, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ became that curse for us. He took upon himself our sin that we might be made righteous in God's sight and that we might then be redeemed and brought back to him because of his love that he had for us. Because of his willingness to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, he redeemed us from that curse of the law, the curse of sin, and he became that curse for us. Again, the greatest story that ever was told. There is nothing greater that this earth has experienced than the ransom that Jesus Christ has done for us and the love that the Father has for us in giving of his Son, that we might be ransomed and brought back to him, that curse of the law, that curse of sin would just be taken away and that life might be imputed and given unto each and every one of us. In Revelation, there was angst about who would be worthy to open the seals that was to be opened and this book. And it says that they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, referring to the Lord Jesus, and to open the seals thereof. For thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God. God, he redeemed us to God. He brought us back. And he is worthy, and he is the worthy one in heaven because of that which he has done here upon this earth. And in being our Lord and our Savior, the Redeemer, and fulfilling the plan of salvation for all mankind. The songwriter captured this concept very well when he wrote, Gone is all my debt of sin, a new life abides within, and to live I now begin, risen from the fall. Yet the debt I did not pay, someone died for me that one day, sweeping all my debt away, Jesus paid it all. He paid our sin, that we might live, that we might be ransomed, that we might have this life, and that we might live with him forever. Blessed is his name, worthy is he to be praised. We are to glorify him while we are here upon this earth, and we are to speak and live out this plan of salvation that he has for us, in that he has redeemed us from the curse of sin and has given unto us eternal life. Amen.
Outside of Christ, we are all equal in God's eyes. Every one of us, as Brother John mentioned, has sinned. Every one of us has fallen short of God's expectations. We're all in that boat, so to speak, together. When God sees us outside of Christ, he sees us all evenly. We are all sinners, and we are all condemned to die. For even as Brother John read this verse that we're all familiar with, in Romans 6:23, it says, For the wages of sin is death. There is no escaping that. The penalty for sin must be death, because it is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness cannot stand in God's presence. He has no room for that in his kingdom. For the wages of sin is death, but it says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is that unspeakable gift that is written of in 2 Corinthians 9. It says, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And this unspeakable gift is, again, eternal life with our God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gift that we've all been given. Just as we are all born into sin, just as we have all sinned, all come short of God's glory, of his expectation, So we are all equally given the chance to repent and to live for him. And this chapter that we've read tonight and this message are to give us so much confidence, because what God does cannot be questioned. What he does cannot be undone. When he saves us, when he holds us in his hand, no one can pluck us out of his hand. He is our God. He has saved us. We can remove ourselves from his hand if we desire to go back into our old sins of our old life. That is possible, but no one can pluck us from his hand. Our salvation in him is sure if we but remain true and faithful unto him. How much confidence that should give us to know that he is our God, he is our creator. He has made us to serve him, to bring honor and glory unto his name. May we strive to do that to the fullest of our abilities with his help each and every day. Amen.